From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he brings the next portion of a message dealing with the titles of the Holy Spirit, particular designations of the Spirit given in the Bible, which help us to understand a number of important things about the Spirit. We've seen that these titles reveal the Spirit's deity, that He is truly God. Then they show the mystery of what is called the eternal procession of the Spirit. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized strongly, the Holy Spirit is in no way inferior to either the Father or the Son. Next, many of the titles ascribed to the Spirit serve to reveal His personal properties. For example, He is the Holy Spirit, the one who produces holiness in believers. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
How do we know the Bible is the Word of God, say, as distinct from the Quran or some other so-called holy book? Well, the answer really is pretty simple. The best way is to start by reading the Bible. Most people who ask this question ask it as an empty exercise, usually as a cover-up for their sin. But first of all, read the Bible. The Westminster Confession of Faith quite rightly notes that the best evidence for the Bible is the Bible itself, because it is an absolutely unique book. Stop to think of it. If it is the Word of God, then it must be different from everything else. And it certainly is. But there are many arguments one can use. The fulfilled prophecy of the Bible is a strange thing to many people who don't know the Scriptures, but the fulfilled prophecy of the Bible is a strong indication of its divine origin. But let me suggest something much, much simpler. The Lord Jesus Christ is the central figure in the Bible. The Old Testament points forward to Him. The New Testament tells of His history, His life, His death, His resurrection, and then it tells of the power and effect of His gospel. Now, Jesus Christ has put His stamp on the Old Testament, and He calls it the Word of God. He pre-authenticated the New Testament, promising infallible truth to what His apostles would bring to the world. Of Himself He said, I am the truth. Now, how do we know this is true? How can we judge this against the writings of Muhammad or somebody else? Well, Jesus Christ gave us one unique and glorious standard. In effect, He said, I am the Son of God. You take this body hanging on a tree. You put it to death. Actually, He said, you can't take my life from me. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. And He did that. But He said, you take this life, and in 3 days, I will rise again from the dead. I will prove what I am saying by rising from the dead. Now, on the third day, He did rise. You can examine the evidence for the resurrection of Christ. It is incontrovertible. Nobody else has ever, in the history of the whole world, nobody else has ever been able to say, I lay down my life and proving who I am and what I say, I rise again the third day from the dead. But Jesus did. The greatest proof of the Bible is Jesus Christ Himself. Now, I go back to where I started. Start reading the Bible. And you will find that the power of the Word of God is incalculable. the power of the Word of God to enlighten the mind, to bring you to faith in Christ, and then to govern your life, making you live a life that you never knew was possible, a life of victory and of grace. Only one book has that kind of inherent power. The Bible itself says it is inspired of God. It is breathed of God. These are the living oracles of the living God. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So read the Bible, learn of Christ, and you will find the most absolute proof that this alone is the Word of God.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, I pray. Restore to me now the joy of salvation and
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The upcoming edition will be focusing on the great 1859 revival which took place in Ulster. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Going away back in church history to the days of a man called Origen. I don't want to get into his name. By some he's called a great saint. By others he's called a great heretic. And I tend to be in the latter camp. A genius, but a genius, I think, who certainly went far astray in many things. But way back as far as then, he started talking about the subordination of the Son to the Father. And he wasn't speaking of the humiliation of Christ coming into the world. He was speaking that from eternity, the Son is essentially lesser to or than the Father. And similarly, the Spirit is somewhat lesser than God the Father and is subordinate to Him from all eternity. And right down through the course of church history, this kind of thinking has again and again been resurrected in heretical notions. And I tell you, it would surprise you that there are some who are accepted as thoroughly fundamental and thoroughly biblical, and they have strayed into this sort of heresy. We need to be very careful. I have pointed out the Holy Spirit is eternal. He is not derived from the Father and the Son as an effect is derived from a prior cause. Remember that the Bible teaches the doctrine of the Trinity. God did not choose to be a Trinity. God essentially and necessarily exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and cannot exist otherwise. So the God of the Bible exists as a Trinity. The Holy Spirit is in no way subordinate in His essence or dignity to the Father or to the Son. He was not created by them, but the Bible teaches He does proceed from them. Now, here you get into a big theological term. What is procession? Well, I'm not going to be trying to be very clever with this today. Normally, I think very simply, you could say that the procession of the Spirit is the act of the Father and the Son from all eternity, whereby they communicate to the Spirit all the fullness of divine essence and eternal deity. And this act of God is not what's called an act of will. It's not the result of the will of God. It is a necessary act. It is that which, in human terms, describes what God is from eternity. Now, that's a very deep doctrine. From the Father and the Son, eternally, the Spirit proceeds. Some people have tried to give examples of this. And they talk about the eternal generation of the Son and the eternal procession of the Spirit. The best example they have come up with, and I don't think any example is foolproof. How can you give an example of God? It's impossible. But the best example or illustration so far that I have come across is that of the sun and its light. The sun is the source of its rays, but you couldn't say one is before the other. That's as scriptural an example as you can get. Hebrews chapter 1 says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the brightness of the Father's person. The word means literally the outraying of the Father's person. So that's a fairly scriptural example. There is no priority between the sun, the S-U-N that is, and its rays or its light. Neither is there priority among the persons of the Trinity. The Spirit proceeds from the Father. Now that eternal procession is the ground for the act of the Father and the Son in point of time, when they send forth the Holy Ghost to apply the work of redemption. John 15 and verse 26 tells us of that work in time. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." All that God will do, He will do in and by His Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. And every vital movement of God among men must be the direct result of the movement of God the Holy Ghost. So the procession of the Spirit, therefore, reminds us that He is God's special gift to the Church of Christ. The third thing I want to note is this, that the titles of the Holy Spirit not only reveal His essential equality and His eternal procession, but they reveal His personal properties. Now, just to show you how little we think, He's called the Spirit. Have you ever asked yourself why? Is not God the Father a Spirit? Is not God the Son a Spirit? Does John 4:24 not say God is a Spirit? And if God the Father and God the Son are equally spiritual, why then is the third person of the Holy Trinity called the Spirit? Well, again, we get into deep water. The Spirit is a title that refers not to His essence, for that would be a word that would describe Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, if it were referring to His essence. It refers to His person. Truly, God is a Spirit, but the third person of the Trinity is preeminently known as the Spirit. And for two reasons. Number one, He's the Spirit essentially in His relation to the Father and the Son. Now, I can't explain that relationship. All I can say is this, that as the Spirit of a man is absolutely necessary to the personal existence of that man, so the Spirit of God is absolutely necessary to the personal existence of God. That word, the Spirit, speaks of the life principle, the breath. Now, these are all human terms that at best can only give a very, very vague understanding, because who can find out God? Can't be done. But it is a word that says that as the Spirit in man is essential and necessary to His personal existence, so the Spirit of God is necessary to the existence of the personal God. But the word Spirit refers also to the way God acts among His creatures. He's called the Spirit because He's the outbreathing of the life and of the energy of God, especially in the work of quickening and of blessing. So He's called the Spirit, again, because all that God will ever do to breathe upon man is the work of the Holy Ghost. But then He's called the Holy Spirit. Again, does the Bible not teach that the Father is holy and the Son is holy? Yes. But the title is most often given to the Spirit because He is what we could call the executive of the Trinity. He puts into operation the will and the holy decrees of God among men. And not only that, but He is the author of holiness in all the elect of God. He is called in Romans 4 the Spirit of holiness. He is the source of all holiness among His creatures. When you think of the people of God, how can they be holy? Well, Galatians 5 tells you how Christians can be holy. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, I would to God that we would get the Holy Spirit back in Christian living. Holiness is not the length of your hair. And I don't like men with long hair, mind you. Holiness is not whether you have a certain cut of coat. And Brother Mark told me once he heard one clown of a preacher talking about separation and apostasy. And the mark of apostasy and backsliding was a man that had wire-rimmed glasses. God help us when the Church of Jesus Christ is brought down to such abject folly. When are we ever going to learn that holiness is not just, I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do the other thing? Now let me be quite honest with you. Christians do not lie, or they ought not to lie. They ought not to cheat. They ought not to commit adultery. They ought not to go into divorce. They ought not to get into abortions. They ought not to get into the world and drink and smoke and gamble and swear. No, Christians shouldn't do those things. I believe in separation of life. But if you imagine that you are holy simply because you don't go to the movies and you don't go to the theater and you don't do this and you don't do that, God help you, you're living a life of abject misery and poverty. Holiness is the fruit of the Spirit of God. Holiness is the result of a mighty communion with the Holy Spirit. Holiness is that which is brought forth in us. It is the life of Jesus Christ, the mighty vitality of Christ, the fullness of the production of the death of Christ, and the current life of Christ in our lives by the Holy Ghost. The old holiness preachers, and I don't agree with all that they said and taught, mind you, but at the same time I appreciate much of the emphasis of the early Keswick men. They used to pray, Lord, by your Spirit, live out your life in me. That's holiness. Lord, by your Spirit, love the souls of men through me. That's holiness. He is the Holy Spirit because He is the true author of holiness in the lives of the people of God. And He's the Holy Spirit, therefore, because He is grieved with sin and wickedness and ungodliness and unchristlikeness in the lives and hearts and minds of the people of God. He is the Holy Spirit. There's another lovely title which shows His personal property. Nehemiah 9:20 calls Him the Good Spirit. And speaks of Him as the Good Spirit instructing the people of God. The Holy Spirit is good in Himself. That means He's God. But He is good. And the Holy Spirit does good. Oh, when I plead for a return to crying to God for the ministry of the Holy Ghost in our midst, in effect I am pleading that we would see that such a prayer is saying, Lord, open up the sluice gates of glory and let that mighty torrent of all the good that God has purposed and that Christ has purchased be conveyed to our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. If we would enjoy any good from God, we must enjoy it by the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.